Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with Carver High on a pain-free Friday, 844-843-6879. All right, so tell me this story about John Anik saying that the UFC is bigger than the NHL.
Yeah, that was just basically his comments today when he was doing all of his press interviews, just saying that it's past him, that the UFC is one of the four major sports in the country right now. That's it. Done deal. They've passed the NHL, and I disagree. I admit a lot of people, the UFC is massive. You've said this a billion times. It is massive. And when they have a big fight like they do tomorrow night, because they have a big name, they're going to do a million pay-per-view guys, whatever it is. But here's what I don't know if the UFC can do with it. The NHL does. The NHL plays over 1,200 regular season games a year throughout the entire calendar year. 1,200. Arenas that during a normal non-pandemic time, you can go back to 2019, 90%+ capacity for over 1,200 regular season games in 31 cities across the United States every single night. Now, I'm not telling you the UFC can't sell out events. They clearly can, but they do one event every month. Now, I know they do an event every weekend now, but let me tell you, do you think that they're selling out or getting 90% capacity if they did 1,200 events throughout a calendar year with the amount of fighters that they have? No.
No way.
And here's the other thing why they're not in the NHL's league yet. And their own fighters will tell you why they're not. The average player in the NHL makes $2.5 million a year. What does the average UFC fighter make?
Nothing.
A couple hundred, $100,000? The way that he pays them over there?
Not even.
I mean, it's just the money aspect of it in terms of live event, crowds, what the players get paid, they're not there yet. So I know John wants to throw that out there, and that sounds all nice and good, and the UFC has a massive fan base. But the NHL, 1,200-plus dates a year, has 90%+ capacity all across the country.
Well, here's the deal. The saturation of the UFC is just blatant.
Yeah,
they have an event. They have a card every week of the year now. Every single week there's something, a fight night or a ESPN Plus card, a fight night. I don't even know what they are. There's something every week. And I mean, literally, so they, let's just say on average, they have 12 good cards a year, which are the let's say one big one a month, right?
Yeah.
And then they have 3 weeks of just absolute crap cards. They're just crap. And when it's on ESPN Plus, there's literally no one watching. I mean, fair enough. They'll get maybe 100 or 200,000 people watching their Fright Night cards across the country. Do not tell me there's millions of people watching that on ESPN Plus. I just don't believe that.
Well,
and then,
yeah,
no one watches crappy fights. Okay, only hillbillies and losers watch crappy fights every Saturday night. If you got a crappy card on with a bunch of no-name hacks, no one nobody cares unless you're a diehard, like a WWE diehard fan that watches wrestling would be the WWE diehard UFC fan that would watch those crappy cards. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday with Carver High. So they look, I will not deny they're worth $5 billion, if not more now. They sold it for $5 billion. Now it's worth even more. There's no denying it. Well, the NHL is worth billions as well. You've already elaborated that they make way more money. The hockey players make way more money than the fighters. There are only a handful of fighters. You can count them on two hands that make over $1 million. There's 10 of them in the entire thing. That, if that, I bet there's only five that make over $1 million every time they fight. The rest of them make nothing. They'll make 50, 60 grand a night. If they're the fight of the night, they get a bonus of 50 grand. I mean, the bottom line is that the UFC makes tons of money and the fighters don't. So it's the UFC that's making all the money. Dana White and the owners, I always forget the name of it, the group that owns it.
Yeah, I know.
Evolution or whatever they're called.
But
they make all the money. And it's a money-making endeavor. Endeavor is the name of the company. Endeavor. They make all the money, and Dana White makes all the money, and he's making tons of money, but the fighters don't make anything. Now, their lover, Conor McGregor, makes a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why I think they fix that fight tomorrow night. I will not be surprised at all if he wins, because I think they fix fights.
I thought about it today, because I told you all week, I'm betting Conor tomorrow night. Like, even though I know I always root for him, and I always ban, and I always do that. But just looking at it, you got to bet him. This thing has to be fixed. If he loses this fight tomorrow night, he's finished. They can't. What do they have left to do with him? Who's he going to fight next? What, he loses twice in a row to this guy. I know his name is so enormous, but he's done. They need him to win this fight.
Mafia says he'll fight Tony Ferguson if he loses.
Ah, please.
And then other people think he'll fight Nate Diaz, no matter what. And that'll be that. You know, one of the problems I have with the UFC is the trilogy fights. Everybody has a trilogy fight, like 10 of them. It's just ridiculous. So, listen, I don't have a problem with anybody there. I don't care about John Anik or Joe Rogan or any of them, Bisbing, anybody that does it. I don't care enough about it. I used to go to the cards for – I worked for him for a couple of years when I was with Howard Stern. I worked for the UFC for a couple of years and did every card, every event for two straight years. Every single month I went to a big event. And I hosted the show from there, and they had every single fighter in the world came on my show. That was it. I was the show. I was the radio show they used. And then I left to do TV in New York, and that made Dana mad, and Dana hated me forevermore because I left. And I was a traitor and all the rest. Meanwhile, all I did was go to – everyone knows the story. It's true. You know it's true. I took money over working for nothing. So I worked for the UFC, and Sirius made all the money. And the UFC used me to promote them, and I didn't get anything out of it. I got a ticket to the fight. I mean, like, who cares? Like, I went to every card and sat front row. Who cares? Who cares? So somebody offers me six figures to do a TV show for 30 minutes a day in New York, and I walk down the block to do it. Who wouldn't do that? Like, how stupid do you have to be? Like, I'm not a stupid person, okay? Any more than Dana is. Dana's made a fortune, so I don't think he's stupid. And I know I'm not, so it just didn't work out, right? So one thing led to another. I distanced myself from it, and I don't do it anymore, right? I still like it when there's a really big fight. I won't deny that. I think it's great when there's a big event. When there's a big, huge fight like tomorrow, I'm all for it. But I will not buy their crappy fight night cards. I will not buy their three crappy events a month that they have. And you said it best, Carver High. They got about 12 big pay-per-views a year, and about three or four of them are good. And about nine of them suck.
Like must-see. Out of their 12 pay-per-views, there's probably four maybe five, and that's probably a stretch, that are absolute must-see. And I'm talking not even just a fight fan. I'm talking about cards right. that bring out even the non-fight fan, like right. that get pumped up and people are into it. They only have four pay-per-views out of their 12 a year that are must-sees that you have
so
to watch.
So say what you said about the
Well, it's just going back
it's
to
worth $5 billion. It's worth $5 billion at this point and growing. And yeah. the NHL, every single team in the league almost is worth over $1 billion.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the Rangers are worth 1.7. The Canadians are worth 1.4 billion. The Blackhawks are worth 1.5 billion. I mean, right there, those three teams alone, you're at $4 billion. You know, then there's like five or six other teams that are worth $1 billion. The Penguins, you know, the Kings, you know, there's other. So. And then there's 25 other teams that are worth just under $1 billion. So if you add up the evaluation of all the teams in the NHL, guess what? It's a lot more than what the UFC's worth. Okay.
Slaughter.
So this is not me trying to bash the UFC. I'm not doing that at all. I like the big fights. I'm going to watch tomorrow night because Conor's fight. I'm in. I'm going to watch. But I mean, it's just, and you maybe I'm just, you're an NHL defender. Yeah. You know what? I do get. That's one thing that I do get defensive with the NHL. The NHL has fans, and sometimes people think they don't have any. It's silly.
Well, I mean, the Penguins, you said it, they have 41 home games, and they sell out every one of them every year.
19,000 people in there 41 nights a year. If the UFC did 41 of their straight cards at the PPG Arena in Pittsburgh, would they get 19,000 every single night?
They couldn't draw 10,000 with those crappy fight cards they put on with all those chicks and everything else that nobody gives a rat's ass about. I mean, like, I saw a fight card today coming up with Andre Arlovsky fighting some other hack, fat-ass heavyweight. Two over-the-hill, like, completely washed hack fat-asses fighting. That's what they give you. That's what they give you. And we're supposed to sit here and say that, like, that's compelling. I mean, get out of here. Get the F out of here. I don't watch. I wouldn't watch that if you paid me. I have better things
tomorrow
to do
night,
with my time than watch
tomorrow
that.
Tomorrow night will be a spectacle. We know that because Conor always makes it a spectacle. And he was there again today after we did Coast to Coast. They had, you know, the fake weigh-in. You know, they do the real weigh-in.
Bet he never wins.
And then they do the fake weigh-in, you know, where they do the face-off and he tries to, you know, kick him. And I think that was yesterday. But, like, It's such nonsense.
Today they did the fake one where he got so emotional trying to put his fists up that they wouldn't even let him do the stare down because Conor was so lit and then he started doing interviews and saying he was going to kill him. He's going to kill him dead. He said that tomorrow night
he's going to take his hat off,
kill him dead. Like dead, like completely dead. They're going to take his corpse out of the octagon. He's going to kill him dead. Meanwhile, okay, the only way he wins, in my opinion, is if the fight is fixed. Because that guy, Poirier, beat the living snot out of him the last time they fought. And don't tell me he had a rough night because he wanted to fight Manny Pacquiao. That's the softest shack I've ever heard in my life. I was about to drop a bomb there. I am telling you, that is such BS that he wasn't focused. That's why he's always got 50 million excuses. He's worse than Wilder with the excuses. I mean, he's got every excuse in the world why he loses. And then he says, "We're two gentlemen. I'm trying to sell a fight, and I respect you, and I love you, and I love your family." Meanwhile, he says his wife's a man, and he has every insult in the world going into the fight. When the fight's over, he's a phony ass talking about how much he loves the guy and respects him. It's all a game to him. Yep. And I'm sitting here telling you, who sucks up to him, you love him because he's Irish. Fair enough. But the guy never wins anymore. He sucks. He's overrated, and that's all there is to it. He was great when he was the featherweight, lightweight champ, and that is it. He talks about Nurmagomedov has done nothing in the UFC except mow through his ass. He mowed him down and killed him. And I'll tell you what. To sit there and say he sucks and has never done anything except he wouldn't even acknowledge that he lost to him, that he's so effing delusional, he's completely psychotic. He doesn't think he ever loses. Meanwhile, he never wins. He's won once in five effing years, Mike.
No, I don't disagree with you. Stop. And I have softened on Conor a lot. Over the last few years, 4 or 5 years ago, I was all rah-rah, Conor, the Irish stuff. He's a bad dude. I mean, let's also get down to that. I'm not talking about a bad, like, he's a bad human, like, with some of the stuff that he's done over the last 3 to 5 years. I lost a lot of respect for him, too, with the Floyd thing, because it was such a fix and such a setup, and I know he got his bag of money, and that's all that mattered, but the stuff that he did, you know, knocking the guy out in the bar, the stuff with the women in the hotel in the other country, you know, he's throwing the barrier through the bus in the basement of the bar.
He's been accused of rape, too.
Exactly. He's a bad dude. He's not the kind of guy that...
He's trash.
And wave
he's
the
he's trash, and he's got $500 million.
Now,
he's trash.
If you're able to, on a fight night, want to be entertained, and you... put that stuff to the side, which we do with a lot of players in all sports. We do it. I mean, we're talking about Trevor Bauer and Deshaun Watson and all these guys. When they get back on the field, people are going to cheer them. People are going to cheer them when they get back on the field, if they ever do. When he gets in that ring and he gets in that octagon.
More people like him than Poirier.
There's entertainment. Oh, yeah. People don't care about Dustin Poirier. You know it.
You heard what he said.
Nobody cares.
You heard what McGregor said. He said, you're going to pay for it. So. People are like, well, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to pay for it to see what I do. You're gonna pay for it. Because he has mastered, without a doubt, he has mastered the art of understanding that it is all about who orders the fight, not who wins the fight.
Oh, no doubt. 100%. He knows that. He knows that game for sure.
But you
and
cannot
he's
tell
get
me. But you and he does that better than anybody. He and Mayweather are the best at selling a fight I've ever seen.
No doubt.
I will not
deny
that.
And he learned a lot from Floyd in that whole charade that they did a couple of years ago. When him and
Floyd taught him all
the
tricks.
When him and Floyd got in the back room and they robbed hundreds of million dollars from me.
Well, I think the Pauls have learned how to do it too. They've learned how to steal money from people too. They're robbing banks. All right, Pharrell on the bench. I just said this to Carver High in a break. I'll say it to you. It's simple. The Yankees win 4-0. Loaysica closed the door. Here's the deal. I think that, and I've said this, that I think McGregor could knock him out. Fair enough. That's fine. I don't think he will, but I think it could happen for sure because he's a dangerous dude still in that first, second round. He's very dangerous. And he still has massive skill, so I won't put it past him. But I'll just say this. I think that you win one fight in 5 years against, Cowboy Cerrone, who's just completely a punching bag. He's like a piece of meat. He's like in Rocky, that big slab of beef. Okay? A human punching bag, literally at the highest level. So he really, to me, has won no fights in 5 years. And here's the deal. I think Poirier is at the peak of his career. I think that he is literally at the top of the mountain, right? He just got off the chairlift, and he's going to maybe stay at the top of the mountain and have a drink at the pub at the top of the mountain and then ski down. The difference is, to me, McGregor's already at the bottom of the hill, skied down the other side, and he's drinking beers at the lodge, and he's going to go sit in a hot tub with some hot chicks because he's got a lot of money and a nice watch. Trust me, I will not argue with the fact that McGregor's the best salesman they've ever had, and he's made $500 million. Congratulations, dude. You pulled off the coup, a bank job of the century on the UFC. Some street thug from Dublin did that. And came to America and got rich. He wasn't going to make that money in Dublin. I can guarantee you that.
No shot.
He couldn't.
No.
He couldn't have made that money in Dublin selling heroin.
No.
For 40 years.
Look,
he made it all in America.
He played the game.
He's got to love America.
And he's going to make more because he's built enough of a persona now that even if he does get his head taken off by Poirier tonight and he has to spend the next 3 years in the UFC having, you know, the third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth fight with Nate Diaz, which is what he's going to end up doing because he's not going to be fighting for belts anymore if he loses this fight tomorrow. When he's done doing that, and I'm sure there'll be another dopey boxing exhibition thrown in there in the middle somewhere as well, he is going to be a personality on those UFC broadcasts. 100%. Dana's going to hand him a big check, going to say, I'm going to keep paying you because you bring people to the set. You are very opinionated, and as long as you don't knock anybody out, we're going to keep you there. You're funny. You make fun of people. They love this stuff, and they will absolutely have him a part of it.
And listen, the reality is Cormier sucks at doing it. Yes.
Oh, he's awful.
And everybody, and it's uncomfortable how bad he is. And Bisping is funny. And if they had Bisping and McGregor doing it, it would be must-see TV. Because I think they think that Anik and Joe Rogan are that. And I think actually that if they had Bisping and McGregor doing more, I think they're clearly funnier. I think Joe is a really talented guy. There's no getting around that. But like I said, there was a story today that's been running about him, and I'm sure he didn't like it, about his radio show on Spotify that they're paying him $100 million for, said these are employees of Spotify saying they're bothered by his transphobic comments and concerned the way he spreads misinformation. And a loud minority of people who are outraged by him, and he's the biggest voice by far that's going to accelerate our business. Getting him on Spotify is going to help bring a lot of audiences onto the platform. That's their suit saying that. But all the employees that work there can't stand him. And the show, they think is transphobic. I mean, what more do you need to know? But that has nothing to do with the UFC. I'm just telling you, there's people that don't like him. And it is what it is. I think if you're that big, you get that kind of criticism no matter what you do. If you do anything big on a national level in that kind of volume and that kind of audience, you're going to get people that hate you.
Definitely.
And that's just all there is to it. Some people love you. Half the people love you. Half the people hate you. And you can't please everybody. You can't please anybody. But
nope.
People start calling you transphobic and they start calling you stuff like that. That can become a problem, right? But as far as the UFC goes, I think McGregor would be hilarious on their broadcast because every time he does a presser, he wins. There's not one he even beat Mayweather at it. He was way funnier than Mayweather on the Six City Tour. He was way better. He's great at it. He's great at it, but he's not a great fighter anymore. I mean, that's all there is to it. And no one wants to say it because he's the king of the UFC. And he has been forever. No one else even matters. Who matters?
Nobody.
Tell me who matters. Well, no one gives a rat's ass about that Ngannou. One person. He won't last as champion. Do you really think that guy's going to stay king forever? I think Jones will beat his ass.
This is the same exact discussion I always have with you when we talk about boxing. Can you go up to the average sports fan on the street and say a guy's name, do they know him or not? When you say Conor McGregor, to the average Joe sports fan, 90% of them are going to know who Conor McGregor is. Do you know how many? You know what the percentage of them is going to know Francis Ngannou is? About 20.
None.
20 tops. 20%.
None.
And it could be none. You're absolutely right. And that the same thing goes for all these other guys that they throw you around with. Usman, who's the, you know, all these other guys that even the guy who quit. Nurmagomedov. Nobody cared about him. Nobody knows who he is.
Well, when he quit, he just lost all his juice.
He has juice to begin with in terms of the grand scheme of things. And we say it with boxing. It's just that Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And none of these guys are the names that people would know on the street.
Right.
People know Manny Pacquiao. People know Floyd Mayweather. You say that to him through the average person, they're going to know who that guy is. Oh, he's a boxer.
Do you think they know Gervonta Davis yet?
No shot. No, not even a shot.
They only know Pacquiao. Do you think they know Crawford and Spence? Barely.
No.
Maybe.
No.
I'll give you 20% there.
20% tops. And that's somebody
who's
really watching.
If you're a boxing fan,
you
know who they are. Do you think anyone knows the Charlo brothers? What, about 5% of the U.S. public?
The average sports fan, 5%.
Like, you know, John Ruiz. Not people. John Ruiz. They think the guy owns a restaurant down the street.
There's only two boxers,
that is.
And one of them doesn't even box anymore. There's only two boxers that you could go up to the average person, and 90% of them know who they are, and that's Pacquiao and Mayweather. And the only ones even maybe close right now and I don't even think they're close, is Wilder and Fury, just because they're heavyweights and they've had a couple of massive fights over the last couple of years.
You know,
and
even I just have to say something really quick. Just out of nowhere, I have to say this. Boy, Pedro Martinez is fat as hell. Have you seen this guy's face?
No, what has happened to him? He's hit the ruffles. Like, he's gotten in the mix a little bit with the late night snacking. Like, he is definitely, what is he doing, MLB Network tonight?
He's on MLB Network, and I mean, he is as fat as a balloon.
By the way, I forgot to sound the Ohtani alarm. I mean, he hit his 33rd homer tonight in Seattle, and I'm not kidding. It's probably the longest one he hit all year.
They're about to show it right now.
He hit it like 10 rows up in the upper deck in right field in Safeco. I mean, that thing was an absolute missile. Well,
they're bound to show it right now, aren't they? Here he is. He's up to bat. Here it is. Oh, my God.
I mean, smoked. I mean, that might be the longest one he's hit all year.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got to see it again. They're going to show it again. He hit it so far. Oh, my God. This is him now. I think he's having this is a live at bat now that he's got going on here. This is a live at bat now. I've already seen the home run. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So anyway, I did want to ask you about real quick. Can you even believe it's good for me because, you know, I was going through a lot of complications with the Fury fight with my travel, you know, because you and I were supposed to go do that fight. And it was July 24th. We're going to go out there on the 22nd and 23rd and the fight's the 24th. And I'm going, let's just face it, I'm going on vacation. They're so excited I'm going on vacation because I never go on vacations, right, in the summer. They always know I take them in the fall and winter, right? And no one likes my vacation schedule. You know that everywhere I work, I get the controversy over when I take vacations. They get all upset with me. But I'm actually taking a vacation on the 23rd. It's a Friday, and then I'm taking off that next week. And I'm going on vacation with my family, right? And it was the same day that we were supposed to be in Vegas doing the Fury fight. And the day I was traveling on my vacation, I was going to travel to this spot, and that was it. And then, so what I agreed to do was do the fight. I'll do Thursday, Friday from Vegas with you, and then I do on TV, and then radio. You do the radio show Friday night. I fly to meet my family from Vegas, and you go to the fight. You go home, right? And you knew I was doing that. I had those conversations with the PBC and Top Rank people. They knew that I had a travel predicament, and our bosses knew about it at Sports Grid. And I was like, look, I'm on vacation. I don't need to do this. I want to do it for the company. I want to do it for Sports Grid. I want to do the fight for my friends at PBC and whatever. And I'm glad they canceled the fight with COVID, because now it doesn't interfere with anything I'm doing. And we can go in October now, because now we're going to go in August for the Spence Pacquiao, and then September for a Canelo fight. We'll go to October to see the heavyweight fight. Carver Hyde just said I was being a D. He just said it right there in the break. He did. He said, you're really being a D right now. So anyway, I don't even remember, because I had the conversation with you about, look, let's go to Vegas, do the fight. Do you have a problem with them canceling the fight and moving it to October? What do you think happens to the Wilder camp in, you know, that was 2 weeks away from the fight? And the Wilder people are like, oh my God, we got no fight now. And then the Fury people, he can't be mad there's no camp, because if he's sick, and if three or four of them are sick with COVID, they're sick, they can't train, and they could be sick. They could have breathing problems. They could have, you know, whatever, temperature. They could have whatever with COVID. Maybe they have no symptoms, but they're not fighting. The fight's been canceled. What do you think it does to both sides?
Well, look, whether Fury had it or not, and I know that he, you know, I had one shot already, whatever the deal was, he wasn't going to be able to do the fight either way, because if his whole entire camp wasn't going to be allowed to be with him, he can't train properly, and then he won't. Right. I'm saying whether he has it or he didn't, his camp got the whole thing. If he wasn't going to have his camp people with him in the corner, things like that, he wasn't going to be able to fight, because then you know what that leads to? More excuses. And all we've had throughout the history of these two fights already between these two guys is excuses. So I don't want excuses. I want this to be the last fight between these guys. So I didn't want it. So fine. Make it in October now. You got 3 more months for everybody to prepare. Keep everybody in the bubble for 3 months. I don't care what you got to do. I need these two guys to fight on even terms. Be done with it. And that's that. I don't want anybody belly aching when this one's over. That either, you know, my trainer had COVID, my suit was too big that I wore to the ring, my trainers are drunk. Like, I don't need any of this stuff. I don't want any of this stuff.
He spiked my water. He said he spiked my water.
I don't want any of it.
He had a roll of quarters in his glove.
The next time these two guys get in the ring,
he said he hit him with a roll of nickels.
I want the real deal, and I want it done with. And that's
that. You want the Holyfield? The real deal?
The real deal Holyfield, and be done with it. I'm tired of these two guys. I really am. I'm going to watch the fight.
I'm tired of them too.
But I want them on even terms, so I'm glad they're not having to fight in 10 days.
Do you think that he is a good heavyweight champion? Because I got to tell you, he beat Wilder fair and square, knocked him out. Congratulations. But the first fight, he got knocked down twice. And I got to tell you, he's never fought anybody else. And I think, I'm just going to say it, Klitschko was better than him.
Oh, Klitschko definitely better than him. Look, I don't think that you can put any of these guys that are in the that are out there right now in any kind of all-time conversation, period. Let's be fair. I mean, other than this, the two Wilder fights, who's Fury fought? Bunch of tomato
Nobody.
Cans?
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, besides, who's Wilder fought?
And he was a coke addict.
Besides Fury.
How can a coke addict be one of the best ever?
But all three of these jokers that have been running around for years now saying that they're the best and they're the heavyweight champion, all of them haven't fought each other. You know, neither of them fought Joshua. Joshua, forget him. I don't want to hear about Joshua until he actually fought. I want to see him be
He's a poser.
I know he is. And I mean, when he lost to the big man, Ruiz, when he beat Joshua, that was all that I needed to see from him. These guys are not all-time world-class heavyweights. They are not. It's just simple fact.
There's no doubt about it. All right, let's talk about, because we've talked a lot about the UFC and the McGregor and the Poirier, and they think they're bigger than hockey, and then we got into a little boxing. But I do want to say, anyway, just to clarify, August 21st, we'll be out there in Vegas. I've been told emphatically that Spence and Pacquiao, they want us there for that. And then I'm hearing about this Canelo fight in September, like September 11th. And I think that's Sweet Hand's plant, but they have not signed that deal yet. But
see, that's a fight I can get involved with right there.
Right.
That's
going to be violent.
I like Sweet Hands a lot. So I hope that happens.
But I still think Canelo beats him. And then, even though we love Sweet Hands, I still think Canelo is the best fighter in the world and very dangerous. And then I know they'll fight the heavyweights Fury and Wilder in October. So I want to go to all those. But Oscar De La Hoya has said that he wants to fight, he's fighting Vitor Belfort. And then he wants to fight another fight before he fights Floyd Mayweather or Canelo. Let me just tell you what would happen to, first of all, I do not want to see Floyd Mayweather fight Oscar De La Hoya. That's embarrassing. I also, I know for certainty that if Canelo Alvarez fights Oscar De La Hoya in a boxing ring, he'll kill him dead, right? He'll kill him dead right in the ring. It'll be that fight.
He'll kill him dead, literally. Like, you're absolutely right. And honestly, first of all, Canelo wouldn't do it because he knows he'd kill the old man. Like, Canelo's smarter than that. Like, he wouldn't ever.
He won't fight him.
And secondly, nobody would ever sanction it. Okay? Nobody's going to sanction this guy to fight the best fighter in the world. It's just not happening. I mean, this isn't like Floyd and the Idiot a couple weeks ago down in Miami. Like, Floyd had
that was an exhibition.
He's 50 years old. Like, whatever. you know, this is different. Like, De La Hoya, like, thinks he's going to fight the best fighter in the world. Canelo would murder him in
First
the ring.
Of all,
like, that would be
Oscar's.
Murder.
Oscar's completely lost his mind because he's done so many drugs and he's drank so much booze and he's lied so much about his sobriety that he's such a liar and he's such a hack now that honestly, it's so embarrassing that he's fighting Vitor Belfort. I mean, that's just all I have to say. It's so embarrassing. It is so ridiculous that he's laughable. He's now a running joke. And that's just all there is to it. And he doesn't have Canelo Alvarez at all. And basically, he has nothing. He has absolutely nothing. And this is what he's clinging to. And it's flat out laughable and embarrassing. And it's bad for boxing. He is, I mean, he used to have, Golden Boy used to be great when Richard Schaefer and Bruce Pinkow were running it. Now it's a joke. And he's a joke. And that's just all there is to it. All right, let's talk about what really matters this weekend. Which is three things. The Euro final on Sunday, the Copa yes. final tomorrow night up against McGregor-Poirier. And more people will watch the Copa final than the UFC by 20-fold.
That game will end if you wanted to time it right. Now, if you're buying the pay-per-view, you know, look, you know that, McGregor...
That fight's McGregor, at midnight.
But later than that, you know how these fights go at UFC in Vegas on pay-per-view. I mean, that I would bet Poirier-McGregor doesn't go off till 12:30 at the minimum. So if you just wanted to watch that fight, you're buying the pay-per-view just for that fight, you could watch the Copa at 9 East and have that game, even if it went to extra time and penalties, it would be over by midnight and you'd be in the clear for the Conor fight. Now, if you want to watch all the other fights, you wouldn't be. But if you just want Argentina-Brazil and then right into Conor, I think the timing is actually going to work out pretty well for you.
All right. So the other event that matters this weekend, in my opinion, is the Game 3 of the NBA Finals in Milwaukee yes. between the Bucks and Suns. And I'm just going to say right now, I'm on the Bucks on Sunday night completely. I'm laying 4. I already did it.
Wow. Look, I'm on the Bucks too. I think you have to be on the Bucks. On Sunday night. Like, this is it, right? The last stand at the OK Corral for the Bucks. I mean, they lose this game, the series is over. I expect an enormous effort from them. Man, can they give Giannis a little bit of help? Like, seriously, like, these two guys, Middleton and Holiday, and they've had good games in the playoffs. They were huge at the end of that Nets series, and when Giannis went down against the Hawks, they finished the job. Whatever. They have done nothing so far in this series.
Middleton will have 36 on Sunday night.
Well, you said it. You got the prop boat out this afternoon. Who's going to score the most points in Game 3? You like Middleton. I think it was plus 550 if you want to get Middleton at that price. I think the Bucks give you a big effort, but, God, can we get a good game? Like, one where, like, I want to be able to sit there on Sunday night with 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and I want a 2-point game or a 3-point game. Like, give me some drama on Sunday night. Give me the game in doubt in the last 4 or 5 minutes. That's all I really want.
Well, I think actually that they play Sunday and then Wednesday. We have to wait until Wednesday, which I think the All-Star game's Tuesday.
Hey, you know what?
This is great.
The NBA Finals is going to get us all the way to training camp in the NFL. I mean, the whole final is going to take the entire month. So they're going to take 3 or 4 days off between every game.
It goes. Listen to this. Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. So it's Thursday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Saturday, 4 days off. And then how about Saturday to Tuesday for Game 7? So it's the worst. And then the following week, all the camps open up in the NFL. So you're right, but let's not get ahead of ourselves because I don't think that's that exciting. I think the opening of training camp is a joke, and
it's
I think
exciting
it's,
for 24 hours.
It's as boring as going to church. It really
you know,
is. Training
you know what
camp
happens?
In the NFL is like church.
You know what happens when training camp starts? You want to know what we do for 4 weeks? We just wait around for the next injury news. Who's going to get hurt today? That's all you're waiting
on. That's right.
You're waiting to see who gets hurt.
It's automatic.
That's all you're doing. Because that's the only thing that happens at training camp is guys get hurt.
Right. So I'm with you, and that's automatic. That's, you know, it's that's injury season is what it is. But let's talk. Who do you like? And I'm on Italy, and I'm going rogue, danger on all of these. Sunday, I'm on Italy. And as I've said today on TV, I hope that Kane and Sterling are kidnapped and don't make it to the game. And then I'm on Argentina for Messi's sake on Saturday night because he's never won a big one with the big club. Nothing. World Cup or Euro not, or Copa, nothing. Not Euro. They don't play in the Euro. The Copa, they've never won that either. It's unbelievable. Argentina's won the World Cup, but not with Messi.
Yes.
With Maradona. I think, and, you know, he's gone. And I do believe Messi's a better player. A lot of people don't. A lot of people think Maradona's better. I don't think so. The numbers don't lie. But I will say this. He deserves it, Messi. I got to give him something. He's got to beat Brazil. I think it's going to be very hard to beat England in Wembley, in London. And I also think it's going to be very hard to beat Brazil in Brazil, even without fans, because I think that both the Copa and the Euro final, I firmly believe UEFA is completely corrupt. I think they're the dirtiest organization in the world. They've already put a ton of people in prison for corruption. So don't tell me they're not dirty. And I think they fixed games like they did the Denmark game. That was fixed. That call was the worst call I've seen in sports, maybe ever. And then literally maybe ever. I've never seen a worse call. And then I firmly believe the Copa's dirty. I mean, are you kidding me? They might as well not have a ref. So who do you like in those games?
I'm with you. I would love to see Messi win. I'm going to bet him to score. Him and Neymar, both of them. I think that's the way to go. And Italy, I think the price is too good. 90-minute line plus 200, plus 106 if you want him to win the cup in any way. That's where I'm going.
All right, we'll give you updates on baseball going on late night tonight when we come back and wrap it up. How about our boy Mike Modano, Carver High at the Tahoe Celebrity?
Oh, unbelievable. Your boy made an albatross today. What's that? The guys on TV called it a double eagle. That's when you get a deuce on a par five. That's right. Your boy Double M drove it 295, and then he goes 206, couple bounces into the cup. A two on a par five. Albatross for Mike Modano today at Lake Tahoe. What a shot.
I saw his reaction, and his wife is Joe Micheletti's daughter. She's on the LPGA tour, and she's on the bag, and they're a great golf family. He's a scratch golfer. I hope he wins the tournament. We'll try to get him on Coast to Coast next week. Diamondbacks lead the Dodgers right now. Chavez Ravine 2-1, bottom five. Dodgers have runners on first and second with one out. Giants lead the Nationals 4-3, bottom six. They have a runner on second with two outs, the Giants. Angels lead the Mariners 3-2. Ohtani with number 33 into the upper deck. They lead, and they have a runner at first, one out in the sixth. Rockies lead the Padres at Petco, top six, 2-1, one out, nobody on. Red Sox 11-5 over the Phillies, cover. Mets over the Pirates 13-4 at City, cover. Yankees beat the Astros 4-0. Cubs 10-5 over the Cardinals, cover. White Sox 12-1 over the Orioles, cover. Braves 5-0 over the Marlins, cover. Indians 2-1 over the Royals, cover. Rays beat the Jays 7-1. Rangers upset the A's 3-2. Reds 2-0 over the Brewers. And I hit the Twins over the Tigers 4-2, cover. Get all of my Saturday plays at PharrellOnTheBench.com for baseball, including the Mets-Pirates doubleheader. Bunch of great games all weekend long. All the picks will be up there, plus UFC picks. And I just gave you the Bucks in game three Sunday night, laying the four. And then we'll be back on Monday on Coast to Coast from the Meadowlands at 4 o'clock Eastern. Carver High will be with us from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan at the Garden. And have a kick-ass weekend. Enjoy the Euro final Sunday, Saturday night's Copa, and the McGregor-Poirier fight. Have a kick-ass weekend, everybody. Good night.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.